Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Bowhunter Chronicles podcast, brought to you once again this year by Huntworth. Huntworth bringing you quality hunting gear and packs at a price you deserve. Check them out at huntworthgear.com. Everything right now is up to 50% off, 20 to 50% off, all the way through February 12th. A couple more weeks for you guys to get over there. Everything, including the heat boost. Uncle Frank was using the Matterhorn late season down in Ohio. Absolutely loved it. I was using the Saskatoon stuff up here. Amazing stuff. I would definitely take a look at their vest. I think the vest is probably my favorite piece of gear that that Heat Boost offers. The jacket is really nice as well. The bibs are incredible. Check those out. But, I mean, great prices if you were looking at it, if you got tax money, any of that stuff coming back in, get over to Huntworth, check that stuff out. Glad to be working with them again this year. Still in talks with some other people. I believe we're going to be working with Lucky Buck again this year. And got some other feelers out. But what that does, that allows us to do things like in a couple weeks, I'm headed down for the last weekend of the hunting show in Harrisburg, the Great American Outdoor Show, I believe it's called. I'm going to be down there meeting up with some of the guys we didn't get to meet up with at ATA, hopefully meeting some of you guys. But I've kind of been lagging with vacation and other stuff. John's still on vacation with doing our Patreon giveaways. And I'm going to announce that down there the Thursday when we're down at the show. So we're going to do that live from the show and do Instagram Live like we always do and do our giveaways. And we're giving away that bow from Bear. We're giving away the heat boost, or not the heat boost, the Huntworth gear. And Lucky Buck, we're going to be down there with seeing the Latitude guys. We're going to be down there with the guys from Zinger. So it'll be fun to be in that environment and do our giveaway. So we're certainly going to be doing that. You know, we can't thank you guys enough. We couldn't go to shows like that. We couldn't go to ATA. We couldn't go to TAC and do all the things that we do. We rented our house for TAC. Going to be putting on another barbecue at TAC, in the works with that. Trying to get near these Latitude guys. This podcast, long time coming. I've known about these sticks. I saw the prototypes way back last year at TAC, and you know, couldn't say anything about it. And then we go through all the material, everything on this podcast. It is great. We're going to try and do another Patreon shoot up there at TAC. Hopefully we'll get to meet some of you up there. So if you're going to go to the Michigan Total Archery Challenge, definitely be on the lookout. They don't have the sign up sheet yet for that, but you know, if you want to be part of that Patreon community, we're started up a one shot group in there just to keep shooting and to keep the camaraderie up. So I know there's a bunch of guys that aren't in the Marco Polo group that may be hearing this for the first time. If you want in on that, shoot me a message, and I'll definitely get you guys hooked up with that. We're going to start here doing some trials, and then we're going to start it up after turkey season. So that Patreon, if you are interested in helping us grow the show, do more things, have more stuff to give away. Patreon.com/Boehner Chronicles Podcast. Got some really kind of big news coming up here in the next few weeks. Can't really say anything about it, but we're going to be doing a live event here. It's coming up, so keep your kind of ear to the ground for that one. And as always, thanks everyone for listening. All right, everybody. Adam back with another episode of the Boehner Chronicles podcast. John is still down in Florida chasing wahoo, and I'm very disappointed. The one year that we decided that, you know, we couldn't make it to ATA, I fell onto John's bandwagon, and fishing in somewhere warm was more important. And then this happens. You know, these guys, we talked to them. I tried to get as much information about these sticks that they would tell me, that they would tell you a while back when we talked about their platforms and kind of changing up things in the industry. And lo and behold, our good friends win the best new product at the 2022-23 ATA show. So I just got to say a big congratulations to you guys. I couldn't be more happy for you. Kevin, I'm going to kind of throw this over to you because you were the pretty face on the video from the ATA there. What did you guys expect going down there? Because, I mean, we knew that these sticks were coming for a long, long time, and a lot went into it. But what were your expectations going into the show? Because that's a huge, a huge award, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Adam. I very much appreciate that. I think we all individually had different expectations. We talked about that during and even after the show, probably just because we all have very different personalities and viewpoints on different things. But, you know, I think we've done a ton of testing on these things, and it's been a three. I think our gut said the attributes of this product, you know, people are going to really like them. But because of the technology we're using to make them and what they're made out of is such a new concept. It's a brand new concept that people have never seen. That's still an unknown until you truly put it out in the wild, for the masses to see. So, you know, there's a little bit of stress, you know, positive stress involved with that. Just not knowing how they're going to be received, but, you know, luckily they were very positively received at the show, and we came out winning the award. We didn't expect to win the best new product award. We submitted into the competition for it with, I think it was about 120 other submissions. And we thought that they'd have a chance at potentially placing just because of it being such a new concept, but they came out on top. So we very much appreciate the support of all of our customers that really helped us help fund the project ultimately, because without them, these never would have came to be. So that's my perspective on it. I'm sure Jake and Alex have some different thoughts on it. So it might be good to hear from them as well on it.
Yeah. So I've, we'll save Alex for the end. I feel like I've talked a lot, more to Alex about the product and everything. But I spent a lot of time in a vehicle back and forth to Ohio with Jake, talking about the ins and outs of these sticks and kind of everything that went into them. So Jake, from your perspective going into the show, how did you think that this was going to be received, not only by the association, but the community at large?
Well, I mean, I think over the last, you know, 2.5 years or so, we've been working on this, and, you know, you mentioned we've talked a lot about the process and stuff in the past, and it's really been like an emotional roller coaster ride for us. Just a lot of ups and downs, you know, right when you're thinking you're at the cusp of getting to the next level or step in the process, you know, there's some sort of unexpected obstacle that needs to be overcome, and that just hits you after like a year and a half of work, and that just hits you and you're like, where do we go from here? You know, we just kept plugging away at it. And, you know, the whole time I think we knew knew the end goal, and we knew the, I guess, the key features and all the boxes that we were trying to check with this product. We knew that it was, if we could check enough of those boxes, that it would be well received. And then we kind of had we broke through to the point where we could release this product, not long before ATA, actually. It was, right around a little before Christmas, we finally got the results back. Yeah, we can move forward now with this and show these to the world. And, I think we all had, like Kevin said, I think Kevin did a good job of explaining, kind of our general thought or outlook on entering them this year. I think we thought there was a good chance they could, place pretty high, at least, be very talked about when people saw them, based on past, watching that contest over the past years. I think we had a pretty good chance of winning, I thought. But there were, like Kevin said, 120 other great products entered into that competition. So we had no idea what was going to be there, what was going to be revealed. So that was, that's a lot of unknown there. So, yeah, I mean, thanks for everybody who supported us and our customers for kind of, like Kevin said, making this all possible. We were really excited about bringing home that first place spot. So it's really great feeling for us.
Oh yeah. But see, now
really appreciate it.
Now Alex, I feel like you're the I think these guys are like the voice of reason, and you're the
what the hell does that mean, Adam?
You're the marketing guy, right? So you these guys will agree with me that
the marketing guy anymore, Adam.
That you're the visionary. You see like what Latitude is going to be, what it's going to. So in your mind, I guess if I were to see Alex Chop down there bringing these and the discussions that we've had, it would be like if you didn't place, it would have been a failure. Not that it would have that there is something wrong with like the industry as a whole. I think on some level we live in an echo chamber, and we think about things only from this mobile hunting side and forget about a lot of the other products that are at like a show like the Archer Trade Show. And I think that it's huge for you guys, because aside from the fact that it's, just the archery trade show, I think everything down there is around hunting and whitetail deer hunting for the most part, if not an archery only product. But it, like, you don't need to use your sticks with a saddle or a bow or any of that. It checks, like Jake said, checks those boxes where, there's a big market for it. But I just think, like, so for you, what were your expectations? Because like I said, I can see you with a Yeti with some scotch in it, it being like, we didn't get third at least, like, come on. Like, so I you got to be the one to say that you had hopes of it playing out at least the way, similar to the way that it did.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously believe in the technology. I believe in it wholeheartedly, right? I mean, we spent the last 3 years working on this, and we wouldn't have done that if all of us didn't agree or didn't believe in it, right? So I definitely had high hopes, and I was so excited to show people. And you touched on something really important, right? We live or we operate in such a small little world that is the mobile hunting community, right? What you see on Facebook, and that's been a huge realization for me. So I was really excited to show it to everybody, because that show gets eyes from the entire hunting community. I mean, you got 11 million bow hunters, 17 million hunters, however many there are. I mean, Saddle Hunter Nation has 10,000 members, 15,000 members, right? So just think about that. So it was really exciting for me to be able to show that to everybody. And I was confident in the product. Like I said, we wouldn't have, I mean, if you could see what's happened over the last 3 years, we never would have done that if we didn't truly believe in it. So I definitely had some high hopes. With that being said, if we didn't place, it still would have been a win, because as a team, we got through some shit to get to this point. We really did. And so that was the biggest win for me, right? Is that we were able to cross the finish line as a group and without killing each other, got close, but we got there. And that was the biggest win for me. So
there was a point, I just want to say that there was a point in this process, man, now it's going to be like 7 months ago, where we were literally, Adam, just all three of us just kind of sitting cross-legged on the ground in the grass in the backyard next to a tree, just looking at each other with nothing to say. Like, well, sorry, but all this work was for naught, and I guess yeah, we're chalking it up as a loss, but you know, I think we as a team learned a lot of great lessons on this, with this project, and you know, what can be and like how to overcome a lot of these obstacles to sort of push those boundaries, which is really our goal.
Yeah, and we talked about that on the last podcast, and it's funny to go back and listen to that, and then the questions that I asked about, like what you look for in sticks, like kind of putting the pieces together and then having these come out. Now, I don't know, I guess, where did the idea come from as far as the shape and design of the stick? And then let's talk about like the technology and the material and why you chose that and why it's a perfect choice for you guys in this application. I don't know who was like, where did it come from? Like the idea from start to halfway there to first failure.
Alex, you want to hit on the material and then
Kevin, that is a big question.
We can talk
a big question, Adam.
Yeah. But I think it's important because, you know, you can't, everybody's going to hate on something they don't understand. They're going to tell you why it doesn't work and why it can't work and all this stuff. And without talking through the process and getting to a final product, no one will ever be able to understand that.
Yeah. So the advantages of carbon fiber, right? It's no secret. It's been around forever and it is a phenomenal material for several different applications, but for the mobile hunter or hunters in general, right? It's fantastic. It's strong. It's light. It's quiet. It's warm to the touch. It's almost a perfect material for the mobile hunter. And so that's obvious, right? But the challenge is that the way traditional carbon fiber is produced, it prices it out of the market almost. Right. Or at least the majority of the market really isn't going to spend that money on that technology. So the challenge was, how can we bring the performance of carbon fiber and provide access to everybody? In other words, how do we hit the right price point? And the only way to do that was to automate the manufacturing process. And that idea of providing access to carbon fiber performance to everyone was really the main driver behind why we even started looking for other technologies. But once the material was settled on, or at least we thought it might be an opportunity, you know, I'm going to let Kev talk about everything else from there, because these guys were the, you know, main drivers of getting it to the finish line. So Kev, if you want to take that over.
Yeah. I mean, it was the material we ended up using for these sticks was originally Alex's idea. He actually brought it to the table and said, hey, why don't we evaluate this? It's got these potential advantages across the board.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products, and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
Boat Trader is America's largest boating marketplace with over 100,000 boats to choose from. We offer simple, comprehensive solutions for those looking to sell, find, and finance new or used boats. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
You know, feature function in the field, performance in the field, and then, as he mentioned, the ability to get them in the hands of people at a more acceptable price point. And, you know, I kind of think of Alex on our team. A lot of the times he kind of finds those carrots and then hands the carrot to Jake and I to figure out how to kind of go to work and make it reality. And that's exactly how this project laid out. It took 3 years once Jake and I got the carrot, but it ultimately ended up being a great idea that just required some extra pushing to get across the finish line. Now, as far as the design, you know, when you look at the overall shape and profile of the stick, you know, we had certain characteristics that, you know, we were looking for in a stick. Step size, we wanted a double step that was fixed, no moving parts, no hardware. We wanted a metal-free attachment. We wanted a certain step-to-step length, which we landed on that kind of that standard 17 inches. But we wanted these to be as packable as possible for a double step stick. That's a disadvantage of a double step stick. Is packability. So we wanted to get flush stacking and have these sit as tight as possible for both the saddle hunter and the tree stand guy. Even though we're known as a saddle hunting brand, we're trying to make sure it works for all of the mobile hunters out there. So we kind of took the characteristics that we wanted in our ideal stick, tried to incorporate as many of those as possible. But then we had to kind of marry those characteristics with what could be achieved with the technology behind the material. And as we were marrying those two together, the geometry we landed on really allows both to come together and for the product to check both the functionality boxes and the performance boxes, in particular on the strength to weight ratio side. So part of the trick of this design and some of the things that we have pending IP on is tied to that geometry, which allows us to get the performance out of the product with this material. So, it was a very, very delicate balancing act. That was a lot of, moving targets and variables throughout the tension, are what we were able to bring to ATA. So, and what we'll have available here soon. So hopefully, and that's, you know, hopefully that kind of answers that question. Happy to go into any, you know, specific areas of the stick, beyond that. So,
yeah. So one of the things that Alex said, and you kind of said was, carbon fiber, but is this carbon fiber or is it a derivative? I think of carbon fiber, I think of laid, patterned, woven carbon. And I think that that's what most people would maybe expect. And what you guys have is much different than that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, carbon fiber is what the name says. It is it's a fabric. Like it's a fiber at the end of the day. And so every carbon fiber product in every industry in the world is some form of, you know, what is called a composite. So it's a mixture of these fibers and other materials to hold those fibers effectively in a certain orientation to get the strength. Because the fibers themselves are very strong, but you need something to couple them with to hold them in a certain, you know, in a certain way to get that strength. And the layups that you mentioned are most common. You see the kind of that carbon fiber weave pattern. You know, carbon fiber traditionally has been sort of laid out as a fabric and then combined with a resin. You know, and sort of formed into various shapes. And there's a lot of limitations to what you can form that type of a process into. And it's very slow and costly. Our technology takes those fibers and distributes them throughout the entire part. So for our stick, we have carbon fibers distributed throughout the entire part. And they're oriented in different areas within that part in a way to get the strength performance that is required in that specific location of that part. So, and we combine the carbon fiber itself with some additional materials that, you know, orient those fibers. And the process to kind of get all that to come together is a very high pressure process that, you know, it really works at the molecular level to bind and orient everything accordingly. So it allows us to do Timbold price point ultimately after we kind of figure that out. But it is very different than the typical, you know, lay down a layer of carbon fiber fabric, impregnate it with, you know, some resin and form that into a shape that effectively hardens in that shape. This is a little bit different of a technology, but it still is a very high percentage of carbon fiber. We're just putting those fibers into a shape in a different way.
And so, Jake, yeah. in that process, what were some of the setbacks or the problems that you guys encountered? Because I know that you had planned on having these prior to the season, and lots of other things kind of happened along the way. So what were some of the issues that you guys faced?
I'd say that the main issue challenge with this material and just this process is it's actually, and it's probably the reason why you don't see this material being used everywhere already right now today, is it's very difficult to prototype with it. So if you're creating a part that, you know, doesn't exist, you know, the first step is to model it. You model it up and you can do some sorts of finite element analysis on it, basically looking for stress risers through the part under certain load conditions to kind of see if you're in the ballpark. Now, with materials like any metal, those parameters are very well known. And when you add in this whole manufacturing process and what Kevin was alluding to and how all these fibers are oriented throughout the part, that all needs to be optimized. And you don't really know that until you have the physical model in hand. You can't just get a block of this stuff and machine the part out and test it. It needs to go through the whole process, start to finish. So there's significant time, you know, cost and, you know, ramp up period to basically do everything, a lot of CAD work, a lot of analysis, a lot of different iterations to just get to a point where you're ready to pull the trigger and build all the tooling necessary to create that model that you have that, you know, does not exist yet. And then once you have that model created physically in hand, then you have to go through all your physical testing to verify that your assumptions were correct. And there was a lot of going back and forth through that process. So you come up with a design, you'd make it, that would take months and months of time, and then you'd get it in hand and it wouldn't quite perform to your expectations. So you're constantly going back and forth there. And I think another thing, to my knowledge, this is probably one of the largest parts. You know, the stick is 18 inches long and 9-inch step width. You got your standoffs in there. It's a very large part. You know, typically the kind of things that are being made with this material are, you know, smaller little widget type parts that companies are just mass producing parts very quickly. With our situation, you know, typically to machine a climbing stick would take hours, right, out of any other material. So that's a little different from our perspective. We kind of have an advantage. We can make these larger parts with this project. It just works for us. So there was a lot of unknowns with that, because nothing this big that takes the amount of time it takes us to build each one of these parts has ever been done before. There's a lot of different factors involved there, contributing to unknowns, but essentially a lot of the data that we had to go off in our initial assumptions was not correct. So we were basically a test bed for this material in some ways, and kind of gaining a lot more knowledge about it and the manufacturing processes involved, and sort of dialing in all those design assumptions up front, which I think a really cool thing with this is that data is going to be able to be taken and used, and that's going to be more efficiently because of what we did. So there's just a lot of challenges there, and a long process. And I mean, those are just, it was a very unique situation for us and the whole R&D phase of this project.
So from that perspective, like for the consumer, for a new product coming out, it can seem kind of scary, saying, okay, well, 7 months ago, your product was, you know, you guys are sitting around in a circle going like, man, we shit the bed on this one. We got to figure this out. And then now you're coming out with a product that's never been made this big. It's never been made before. Technology is for widgets, not big pieces. And then one of the things that Kevin said was this binding and stuff happens at a molecular level. I believe there's another stick company that was talking about molecular bonding, and there were some issues with their molecular bonding process. And that was
that is significant. So I got to say, I got to add to what they were saying, and then I'll talk about what you just said. So just to kind of backtrack a little bit, the traditional carbon fiber that you're used to seeing is a matrix of long carbon fibers, right? And those are essentially hand laid. There are machines that do it, but think of it as being hand laid. Those are laid in a certain orientation, and that orientation is preserved with a resin. The technology that we're using does the exact same thing. The only difference is that we use shorter fibers, and we, instead of hand laying the orientation of fibers, we are automating that process with the tooling. And we are setting the orientation with heat, pressure, and flow rate in the tooling. Okay. So the process of finding the perfect combination of heat, pressure, and flow rate is what took us so long. So 7 months ago, we thought we had it, right? We're sitting in the yard. We thought we finally had it because we'd gone through so many iterations, but it still didn't work, right? And every time you make a change, like Jake said, it is very, very expensive, and it is not a quick process. So when we're sitting in the yard, we're thinking about how are we going to pay for the next change. That was a big moment for us as a company, right? Because when I say a big moment, like, we're out of money, big moment. So that's why we were sitting in the yard. But in terms of technology, there's really not a big difference between what you're used to seeing carbon fiber look like and what we're doing. It's the same thing. The intermolecular forces are giving you the strength, and getting the right orientation of those fibers is everything. But it's very difficult to do. And the bigger the part, the harder it is to get that proper orientation. That's really what it boils down to. So to answer your question about, you know, skepticism and that kind of stuff, like, there's a reason it took us 3 years, right? So it's not like we just 7 months ago figured this out. We've been figuring this out, and we just had to get it across the final hurdle. And we did. So all physical testing's done and all that stuff. And we've gone through a lot of testing at this point. So,
And so I'm imagining that these are, you know, in production or going through production, and you're planning on having enough for everybody by the late spring, early summer. I don't know what you guys had projected the date was. So it seems like a super intricate.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Process in that it took all this time to figure out how these had to be laid perfectly. What is the thing? So recalls, I mean, I know that that stuff sort of happens, but it seems like if it is such a, I don't want to say that it's precise, but it seems like it has to be just so for everything to work out just right. How is that controlled on something of this scale, both quantity and size?
I mean, that is the beautiful thing about this technology, Adam, and that's why we went down this road, right? You see quality issues with other products, and that's mainly human error, right? And this takes all of that out of the equation. It took us a long time to get that formula right, right? But once the formula is right, there's nobody there to screw it up. So in terms of quality control, this is a much more robust process than any of these other processes for any of these other products. That's one of the main advantages for us as a company and for the consumer.
And so as far as testing, and Kevin, I know you've been in a lot of the TMA type stuff with the saddles and all of that stuff. What is the testing process like for the sticks on that side of it? I mean, I just seeing it, like, I want to run one over with a truck. Like, that's what I want to do. Like, that's the first thing I want to do. I'm going to buy one and I'm going to run it over with the truck.
I mean, so Jake actually spearheads most of the TMA stuff for us, but I can speak to it. So there's kind of a couple of things, right? There's your industry standard test for a climbing stick. And it basically is a couple of basic tests. One of those is loading that stick for the equivalent of essentially someone climbing on that stick 10,000 times. And it has to do that without any change to the stick at all. So there can't be any permanent, traditionally it would be bending or breaking of parts on the stick. This material can't bend. That's one of the tests, and, you know, this thing has passed that just super easily. And then the other aspect of that is just loading it to a max weight. So it's two simple tests, right? It's a max weight, and then there's ultimately, it's really a durability test. You know, if you use this thing over and over and over for years, is it going to maintain its strength over time? So Those are the two core industry standard tests. We obviously put all of our products through, you know, a rigorous set of tests in field. And our testing is really centered around in-field use. You could certainly take probably a lot of products and run them over with a car and get some interesting results. You know, but our products and our development processes is just grounded in how they're used. Now, we do some torture testing for sure, but it's all within the realm of reality. So, you know, keep that in mind across the board with anything you're playing with. You know, there's certainly some YouTubers out there that get a little crazy, but no, these have gone through both the standard industry tests and you know, pass those no problem. And then they've gone through our in-field testing, which is hours and hours of use. And, you know, which ultimately ends up being a bunch of things related to durability and performance and function and that kind of thing. So, you know, we're just your average everyday hunter as well. So it hunts hard as often as we can get in different states and different terrains. And so we kind of put it through its paces in that regard. And make sure that it comes through unscathed. So hopefully that helps answer that.
Yeah, when one of the tests, just when you said like the torture test and the YouTube type stuff, one of the things that I saw recently, and it made me think of your sticks specifically, was Sean from Bowman Outdoors. He's got the polymer rings of steps, and he froze them for a couple of weeks and then pulled them out and used them. I know that that isn't like a standard test, but it, you know, we've got a, you know, I don't know, you guys could look at this as like a plastic or something like that. I mean, understanding that it's carbon fiber, that it has different like thermodynamic capabilities. And, but as far as like ice, you know, you guys know, being regular deer hunters in Michigan, Ohio, Wisconsin, like it gets freaking cold. Like, how does that come into play with this material?
So from a temperature operating standpoint, this thing's been tested down to minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit without any change to the material properties, without, you know, it doesn't get brittle or start to perform or feel different, you know, when you're standing on it or in hand or that type of thing. So that's kind of the boundary that we've tested to thus far on the cold side. On the warmer side, the material has a melting point of almost 600 degrees. You know, so it, you know, people are, I guess, probably hunting up to 120 in the most extreme scenario. So the temperature operating range for this material is very, very wide. It's outside the bounds of what you would see in a hunting scenario. And that's because it came from other industries. It came from as many technologies that bleed their way into the hunting industry ultimately did, materials that are much in the fall and climbing a tree. So, you know, irregardless of the weather. So that is something that, you know, we've tested thoroughly ourselves. The material has been tested itself in both the hunting scenario through us and our testing pool. And even a much broader set of applications in other industries. So,
okay. Jake, one of the things being down at the Mobile Hunters Expo that I noticed about you that I don't maybe think comes through a lot, like when you talk about Steph, was like maybe when we talked about the ropes and the things that you've done, but it's like your attention to detail on like the little stuff. I watched you go around to every single other of your competitors' tables and look at the stitching, look at the way that their ropes and the knots were dressed, their packaging, everything from that standpoint. What are some of the finer details on these sticks? You know, that kind of set them apart. And then the attachment method is a bit different too. So can you talk about some of like the finer points of these sticks, not just the, you know, the gross, yep, it's a climbing stick and it's light and durable.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if this is just my opinion, but like the fit and finish of the final product was definitely something we took into consideration. And, you know, obviously things have to look good. They have to look right. They have to feel right in hand. So, you know, we needed to build a product that somebody's going to pick this thing up and they're going to want to climb 20 feet in a tree with it. Right. So every little step or I guess piece to that puzzle, we over the last 3 years probably took into consideration, you know, I mean, all the way to the, you know, certain parts of the process to basically mold this piece, the part, all the little parts that the tooling actually engages with, we took under consideration, make sure those were aesthetically pleasing. And it doesn't look like just something that's just being shot out of a machine, right? And then, you know, perform, that's just kind of on that finish side of things and, you know, performance side as well. You know, there were definitely a lot of hurdles along the way. Say everything works right, but, and it plenty strong enough, but you know, this little aspect here just doesn't feel right when you put your hand on it. So we would make changes for those type of things as well. And then you mentioned the like rope attachment. That was something that took, and I don't even know how many iterations, but we actually, before we even had physical parts in hand, and we sort of talked about this before, but, and then as I mentioned earlier, it's very hard to prototype with this material. So we sort of had this skeleton stick that was, we had pieces of aluminum is like a skeleton of the stick. And then we had parts with this material attached in different ways, trying different shapes and swapping things out. One of those things were the attachment cleats, and we had dozens and dozens of different shapes, different ways the rope would attach. And I guess the end goal was that it was as user-friendly and intuitive as possible. And then, you know, also it can't be something so complicated that is easy to kind of screw up in a catastrophic way in any way. So I think the final attachment method we went in, there was a lot of thought into that from the actual channels that your rope is at, wraps you're going to need, and not too big, that the rope actually attaches very easily, so you could swap them for either left or right hand, and that on different diameter trees, they're angled in such a way that as your rope angle is changing for different trees, that it still feels like the same process. And, you know, we looked at all the details of the stick. I mean, there's some, with anything, there's always going to be some design trade-offs. You know, you do one thing that might be real user-friendly, you might not be strong enough or something. So there's like different trade-offs here and there that have to be made through any design process. But, you know, the step distance from the step to the tree, the I guess lugs or gripping apertures on the tops of the steps, how they fit your boot, how it feels when you're standing on there, is it slippery, this and that, and all these different things we took under consideration in this project. And I think what we have here is I mean, it's one of those projects really that after everything that we went through to get to where we are today, that, you know, we hold these things in our hands, and it's just, I don't know. It kind of reminds me of back in high school and like shop class. You spend 6 months, half a year, a whole year on this project, and you just, sounds kind of stupid, but you just like enjoy sitting there admiring the final product, and you just can't stop looking at the thing. You just knowing all the little struggles and, you know, humps you overcame to get to that point. And I think that's where we are with this today.
Yeah. And I mean, I think when you look at some of the things in our last time that we spoke, you know, it was, we were talking about kind of stepping outside of the box and saying, okay, well, this is, you know, there's only so many ways that you can climb a tree. There's only so many ways that you can, make a platform. There's, and you guys continue to kind of like push that envelope of not only like saying, okay, we're going to do something different, but it's going to be, you know, light years different, like that people don't, I mean, if you just wanted to come out, and I know we had conversations about this, about like just coming out with a stick to have a stick, it isn't nearly this difficult. And then, you know, to go through all of the process to make sure all of those little details with the angles and the comfort and stuff like that. I mean, I think being able to articulate that gives the naysayer, you know, some idea at least of like
fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
What it took to get to this point. So Alex, for you, what do you say to the naysayer who says, like, in the biggest one that I've already seen the people online talk about, weren't at ATA, only got to see the photos, only got to see the videos, doesn't look like there's very much foot room, not enough standoff, you know, guys like me who say, well, they stack up instead of like straight out. And I mean, like you said, and I can see now, from the first podcast, you say, well, I think you're going to like the way that they stack. It's not as dramatic as that, but like for the naysayer, after you guys have, you know, spent, you know, the last 45 minutes talking about all of the things that went into these sticks, you're obviously biased, right? You're going to say, well, ours are the best or whatever. But like, what do you say to the guys that haven't seen them and just want to, you know, bash them or say, talk down on these aspects like the standoff?
Yeah, I mean, I would never say that any of our stuff is the absolute best, because I don't believe that exists, but these sticks will be the best for certain people. And like I said earlier, our goal was to bring carbon fiber performance and make it accessible for everybody, right? So they're $239 for a three pack. They're some of the lightest sticks that you can buy. They're warm, they're quiet, and the attachment method is phenomenal. And they stack better than a ton of most of the sticks out there. So are they perfect? No. But perfect doesn't exist. That's how we do product development, and that's what we love to do. So we're not going to be for everybody, right? But somebody's got to push the limit to make changes. And we believe that this is the future. And that's why we went down this path and spent so much time and frankly money on it, right? Now, as far as standoff distance, the standoff distance is comparable to a B-stick, right? So it's not some huge standoff distance, but I mean, B-sticks are some of the best sticks out there, right? So, you know, we were very intentional with the dimensions on this stick. The width of the steps, they're at 9 inches. So very similar, again, to a B-stick and actually most of the sticks out there. So footroom wise for the mobile hunter, I mean, you're going to be, I guess in our opinion, right? It's not going to be perfect for everybody, but in our opinion, you're right in that sweet spot where you have enough foot room to climb safely. You're on your climbing sticks for, 120 seconds. I don't know. Not that long climbing up the tree. Right. So we have to balance, right? We could make them as big as, you know, we could make a full ladder, right? But, you know, they got to be able to pack, and there's all these give and takes, right? So we try and balance that as best as possible. And they're not going to be perfect for everybody, and that's okay with us.
So then, what's next? So, I mean, you guys have changed up the saddles with the, you know, kind of like the first two panel out there. You changed the design of the platform with the X-Wing platform, and now full-on one-piece carbon fiber sticks. What kind of, like, jet packings, what's left? Because, I mean, you got to move into the apparel game, boots, or a pack. And that's kind of it. So what do you see as the next weakness in the mobile hunting community at the moment?
I'm just thinking in my head, Adam, like the project that we just kicked off this week is so damn cool. I wish I could tell you about it, but it's so far off that we can't, obviously. But I mean, you're right. I mean, innovation gets hard, right? This mobile hunting world is getting more and more competitive. And as it gets more competitive, it's harder to come out with disruptive products, right? But we always have a lot of dream ideas. So, I mean, I don't know what our list is at right now. We have this running list as a group that whenever we think of some crazy dream idea, we dump it into this list, and it just keeps growing and growing and growing. I mean, it's probably over 100 products at this point. So where's the next big opportunity? I don't know. We will be rounding out the portfolio, though. So you mentioned a backpack, right? We're going to have a backpack. We're working on it right now, and you'll probably be seeing that here maybe this year, but next year for sure.
Okay. And so if people, like, when are these going to be available to the public? And then in the meantime, like, where can people go to get their hands on them? I know you're going to be at the outdoor show in Harrisburg. Are you going to have them there? Are you going to be at any of the other shows? You were at TAC last year. Are you guys going to be up there again? Like, where can people, if they're out and they're saying, okay, maybe I want to go to the NWTF, or maybe I want to go to Harrisburg, maybe I want to go to the Iowa Deer Classic, and they're going to base their decision on whether they can see some of the products that they want to, like, where are you guys going to be so they can check those out?
Yeah, so we're going to launch a pre-order, probably where all of our dealers are going to be able to participate in the pre-order. So you can actually go into your pro shop and buy the sticks through them if you want to support your local dealer, right? So that'll be a cool program. Eventually, they will all have sample sticks to show as part of this pre-order. But in terms of delivery of actual product to purchasing customers, those will start shipping in June. So timing wise, you can look out for those throughout the summer, depending on, you know, where you are in the queue. You asked about other shows. We'll be at other shows. Let's see. We're going to be at TAC this year.
Michigan.
We're hoping to go to TAC in Michigan and too. And then the Mobile Hunter Expo too will be there, and we'll have the sticks at all these shows. But Mobile Hunter Expo, they have a show in actually Kalamazoo, Michigan. That's in July. So that's going to be really cool. Dan Infault's going to speak there, and some other, I think Jake Bush will be a speaker there like last year. And that was a really fun show this year, and putting it in a more populated area like Kalamazoo, I think it's going to be a big deal. And we also have our film festival going on there, which will be really, really fun. Other than that, we're kind of playing it by ear show wise.
Okay. Anything else you guys want to round this out with, for this evening?
Nothing specific on my end. You guys?
Nothing really. I want to say thank you again to our customers and the whole community, the mobile hunting community really as a whole, whether or not they've purchased a Latitude product or not. We just enjoy interacting with everybody and you know, having just a ton of amazing conversations at shows and that kind of thing. There's a lot of different ways to support brands, and we have felt a lot of support since we've started this thing. I mean, Jake, Alex, and I started this with money out of our own pockets, buddies from college, and we're still, you know, scratching and clawing to continue to grow it and bring more new fun products to the market for guys to enjoy. And you know, just reflecting on it right now, I'd say there's probably, since we started this thing, not a time where I personally haven't been more excited about where we're going and what we've got coming, you know, even after the sticks. So that's really just kind of the beginning of what I feel like is a turning point for us as a company. And we've built an amazing team here recently, and just very proud and excited and, you know, feeling very humble from all the support we've had. So thank you to everyone.
Yeah. Good point, Kev. Thank you to our team, right? We're not the only three guys involved in this anymore. So we've got some great guys working with us, Corey, Derek, Jarrett. We got a couple new guys, Aaron and Jake, who are joining the team. And so thank you to those guys, because they do a lot, right? It's not just us anymore. So they're doing a great job.
Awesome. Well, thanks, guys, for taking the time, and we'll see you in a week or so.
Cool. Thanks, Adam.
That was great. Right. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois and the whole crew here at Duck Camp Dinners every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Birds up in the sky.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.